Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. Today is International Mountain Day. Declared by the UN in 2002, this day aims to raise awareness about the importance of mountains and encourage the international community to organize events at all levels to highlight the importance of sustainable mountain development. Yesterday's nationwide warning strike at the Deutsche Bahn had considerable effects on all rail and S-Bahn traffic in Berlin and Brandenburg. Bahn spokesman Burkhard Ehlert told the German press agency on Monday morning that there were massive restrictions on regional traffic. Most trains were canceled, and the warning strike in the Deutsche Bahn signaling centers from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. also led to cancellations by other train operators in the region. The points and signals are set in the railway signal boxes, which has an effect on the entire railway traffic. With the S-Bahn, only about one-third of their normal offer was running. The main lines were affected by the strikes, including the Stadt- and Ringbahn. The S-Bahn called on its passengers to switch to subways, trams, and buses. To make matters worse, the S-Bahn loudspeakers failed completely in the morning, and it was reported via Twitter that, quote, no acoustic passenger information was currently available. Passengers were directed to the displays on the train and platforms. According to the S-Bahn, the malfunction was repaired by 8 a.m. The reason for the warning strike is that the union wants to push through its demands in the collective bargaining dispute with the railways. On Saturday, negotiations were broken off. From the trade union's point of view, the company had not made sufficient concessions to the trade union when it came to raising wages. In long-distance traffic, all tickets purchased for Monday will remain valid until Sunday, according to the Deutsche Bahn. Please follow Berlin Briefing on Twitter and Facebook for impactful breaking news updates, like the Bahn strike, that occur quickly and after our morning audio briefing has been posted. The Senate's widely announced School Construction Offensive, or Schulbau Offensiv, is once again stalling. Reinickendorf is the first Berlin district to refuse to sign the necessary framework agreement with the state-owned housing association, HAVOGE. Katrin Schulze-Bandt of the CDU, councillor of the District for Construction, told the Berliner Zeitung that, quote, the whole thing is simply incalculable. The HAVOGE's participation creates a dubious budget with which Berlin wants to circumvent the debt limit that will take effect from 2020. Together with District Mayor Frank Balzer of the CDU, Schulze-Bandt has now written a letter to Finance Senator Matthias Kollatz of the SPD, in which their serious concerns are communicated. According to the reporting in the Berliner Zeitung, HAVOGE plans to build around 29 new schools and carry out numerous major renovations. In return, it will borrow at least 1.5 billion euros. In order to secure this, HAVOGE obtains those properties under leasehold for about three decades. The districts, as the actual school authorities, have to pay rent to the HAVOGE for this period and then receive the land back. And it is precisely for this reason that it is imperative that each district concerned signs the framework agreement negotiated between the Senate and HAVOGE, serving as a binding basis for the subsequent lease agreements, which are to be drawn up individually for each HAVOGE school building project. The plan is as follows. For school construction, 60 schools are to be built in the next few years, and several are to be renovated. New primary schools are being built by the Senate Department for Urban Development, while secondary schools are being built by the HAVOGE Housing Association. As far as costs are concerned, originally 5.5 billion euros were planned for the Berlin school construction offensive. Now, the costs are estimated at over 7 billion euros. Included in this price are unforeseen events such as costly planning errors. And as for distribution, the Havulge will implement most of the projects in Pankow, Treptow-Köpenick, and Lichtenberg. The construction of the new Adlershof School Center is estimated at 100 million euros. The new building in Heinersdorf is to cost 74 million euros. Balzer and Schulze Band do not want to take responsibility for the associated risks, stating in their letter that even if the Havulge is state-owned, a sale could never be ruled out in the next 3 decades, and moreover, that no one can say what will happen at the political level in 15 or 25 years' time. In addition, the amount of the rent to be paid by the districts was unclear, as was the guarantee against possible construction defects. The Reinickendorf district politicians are a little angry as well. For so-called project development services, the Havulge puts another 5% of the respective investment sum on top, which is a very high amount, according to Schulze Band. At the meeting of the Council of Mayors 2 weeks ago, other district mayors were also said to have criticized the framework agreement negotiated with the Havulge severely, even those with an SPD membership, remarking that it was, quote, too opaque, too risky, too expensive, and sometimes just unnecessary. Charlottenburg-Wilmersdorf, for example, is the only district that has not yet entrusted a school to Havulge. There are hardly any problems there, simply because District Mayor Reinhard Naumann also invested a lot in the renovation, maintenance, and new construction of schools during his time as school counselor. Berlin is at the top when it comes to dirty air. 3 Berlin streets lead the list in which the Federal Environmental Agency lists the streets with the highest concentrations of particulate matter in Germany. In one case, the air is even so heavily polluted with the harmful particles that Berlin is the only German city to break the European Union's limit value for the first time since 2015. This is the Silbersteinstraße in Neukölln. Since the beginning of the year, more than 50 micrograms of particulate matter per cubic meter of air have been measured there on 36 days. According to the EU, this value may be exceeded on a maximum of 35 days per year. On the Frankfurter Allee in Friedrichshain, too much particulate matter has been floating in the air for 33 days this year. Third place goes to Karl-Marx-Straße in Neukölln, where the daily average value for fine dust has exceeded the permissible level on 30 days since the beginning of January. According to the World Health Organization, people in Europe would live on average 10 months longer if they did not have to inhale so much particulate matter. Moreover, those who are exposed to the particles for a long time have a higher risk of developing heart, circulatory, and respiratory diseases. According to the Senate, Berlin-Feinstaub, or particulate air pollution, fell by 86% between 1989 and 2015 alone. Many factories in eastern Berlin were closed after the fall of communism, and the environmental zone, which was initially criticized, contributed to the fact that vehicles with high exhaust emissions were withdrawn from circulation throughout Berlin. Dorothe Winden, spokeswoman for the environment senator Regina Günther, non-party for the Greens, explained that, quote, the pronounced high-pressure weather conditions in February and March and October and November of 2018 were accompanied by low air exchange. As a result, the emissions generated here were diluted less than usual. And she went on to say that, quote, in addition, high-pressure weather conditions in Berlin are very often accompanied by easterly winds, so that pre-polluted continental air flows in. fine dust then can be carried over hundreds of kilometers so that external sources contribute significantly to the increased concentration in Berlin. Polluted air travels here mainly from Eastern Europe. An analysis by the Senate for 2015 showed that 62% of fine dust originated outside Berlin. Berlin's motor traffic is to blame for 26%. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, follow us on Twitter and Facebook, or enable our Alexa skill. You can also find us and other Berlin-related podcasts on bearradio.org. And if you like what we are doing, support us by telling your friends, send us feedback, and rate us on iTunes. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.